My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. The Greek philosopher Socrates wrote, "Beware the barrenness of a busy life." Considering this was written in the rather less hectic period around 425 BC, the busy life of today must be totally barren. The word barren, usually applied to land, means unproductive, unfruitful, and a place of stunted growth. Is this a true depiction of your busy life, especially if you're a woman? Are you one of the estimated 55 million women in today's world who juggle career, family, and relationship, leaving you feeling like that barren land? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Yvonne Talley, knows that feeling well. As a successful career woman, it was Yvonne's own struggles with life that landed her in the ER and ultimately fueled her curiosity to develop methods and techniques to live a more sane and balanced life. Yvonne Talley has been a healthy lifestyle coach for nearly 20 years. She's a co-founder of Poised Incorporated, which, among many other things, offers Pilates training to cancer survivors through the Stanford University Cancer Center, and the founder of the Sisterhood of the Traveling Scarves, a charity that provides headscarves to cancer patients. She's the meditation and de-stressing specialist for the city of Palo Alto, California. Her website is YvonneTalley.com, and she joins me this week to discuss her new book, Breaking Up with Busy, Real Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Yvonne Talley. Good evening, Yvonne.
Good evening, Victor. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And thank you so much for joining us. And I hope this doesn't create more busyness for you in your schedule.
No, I broke up with busy. I found a great way to do it.
There you go.
Four different ways to do it.
There you go. Yvonne, when we welcome a guest to Destination Unlimited for the first time, we ask them to share about their formative years and how it put them on the path that they now follow. Please tell us about your life before you got busy, or were you always busy?
I think what has happened is busy is a culture now more than anything, and I am a part of that just as much as anyone else. The difference is that I found solutions to break up with that and to also create more balance in my life. And I was raised just like anyone else in the 50s and the 60s. I come from a very large family, very dynamic woman, as I would say my mother was. She was a go-getter. She raised six kids most of the time as a single mother, often working two jobs, and she had this amazing spirit about her and an incredibly positive attitude, even during really tough times. And we had them, to say the least. So I think life was different in that time than it is now, certainly. And this idea and this feeling of busy as a culture and also as a habit is very much fueled by technology. And certainly that was something we didn't have back then. So busy, I would not say. We had an active and full life, but it wasn't this over busy. I remember my mother saying, "Come on in and sit down, let's visit." So we would sit down and visit. Every time we would come home and visit her, we had those moments of just quiet and calm. So I'm really grateful that I was taught how to create that balance early on. And of course, I forgot about it completely as I launched into my own career and I was a single mom. But it was something that I was able to bring back into my life fairly quickly because of all of that great training that I think my mom provided.
Well, she was a wonderful role model, and as me being a child of the 50s and 60s also, and my mother having to take on not only three children, but the fact that my father was ill when I was very young and then passed when I was 15, and she had to really take control of everything. And so moms in the 50s and 60s were very superior moms for sure.
Well, I think they are today as well. I think, you know, the mom gets often is, this is a part of the equation too, is moms often, that role can be very much overlooked. And now today in our culture, as they straddle that line of not only raising kids mostly on their own, far more than they did in the 50s and the 60s, now today we have far more single mothers. And still to this day, Victor, two-thirds of the women working outside of the home are mothers. Mothers working outside of the home are still caring for school-age children. And unfortunately, they're making about 80 cents on the dollar compared to men. So this sets those are just two concrete reasons to how busy rolled right in to the lifestyle of so many women in our culture today.
Now, please share with us about your burgeoning career and how it got busy.
I came into the health and wellness years ago, as one of those aerobics instructors that was full of energy and teaching everywhere and thoroughly enjoying it. I love the fact that I was having a career that I was not only staying and maintaining a healthy lifestyle, but also helping other people to do that. And the shift really came, I believe, when I started my own business about 20 years ago. And as we built that business, and as I said, I was a single mother and raising my daughter, and I was on that path of just continuing to go, 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 and this idea that everything had to be perfect. And that was a hard piece to really come to terms with, was that perfectionism. And I missed all of those signs that I was headed down a path that was going to, as you said in the introduction, end up putting me in the emergency ward thinking I was having a heart attack. And in fact, I was having a panic attack, a big panic attack. And I had never had one before. And thank goodness I've never had one then. But what's so ironic about that, Victor, is here I was, this organic eating, healthy living, exercising, meditating, positive thinking person. And I missed my own signs of being busy. And when I ended up in the hospital and was diagnosed as having a panic attack and never having had one before, I thought, there's got to be a bigger story here. If this could happen to me, if I allowed this to come into my life and missed all the signs, then this is a bigger story. And what I found, Victor, is as I opened up and as I began to share my story, my clients began to share theirs with me as well. And I'm very grateful for that, because the shame of it lifted. And I remember in that moment being in the hospital thinking, you are a fraud. Here you're supposed to be the one that has it all together, and you clearly don't. And it was a blessing, because it set me on that path not only to open up my practice to working with more clients on this basis of helping them find more solutions, not only practical solutions, but mindful solutions. And I also was able to reconnect with my spiritual self on a much deeper level. So it all turned the corner along the pathway that opened up to really good things to help others, and that was important for me.
So a couple of follow-up questions to what you said. First of all, did you have any sense prior to the panic attack that things were getting out of control?
No, because here's what happens. It certainly happened for me. You get into that pace, and that pace becomes very familiar, and it becomes our juice, so to speak. So once we're in a certain pace, how can we recognize it if we just continue to keep that pace until something happens, in my case, the panic attack? Again, when you're in that busy place, we stop feeling and just really focus on the doing. Not that we stop feeling altogether, but that really gets pushed to the optional column, if you will. And the focus is just on to continue to keep that pace. And I'll give you an example of that. Again, I'll use my mother as this. Because she was raising six kids and because she often was working two jobs, that pace was something that was absolutely necessary. And even though she could take breaks and move away from that, it was still a pace that kept our life going. And I remember years later, after all of us had left the house, we had all had our, you know, grown up and have our careers, and she would come to visit, and she would still be on that pace. And we would say, Mom, sit down, relax. And she had that pace in her. And it took her years to kind of get to that space where she could take huge gaps of time without always being in that pace. So no, I missed it completely. I was on that hamster wheel, making it go as fast as I could. And it wasn't until something really dramatic happened that I was able to go, okay, now I see what's happened.
And the other follow-up I had is, you had mentioned being a single mom, your mom was a single mom, my mom, after the loss of my father, was a single mom. Today, there are a lot of single moms who are trying to balance all of this, aren't there?
Absolutely. As I said, you know, a couple of those stats will certainly speak to that. And this idea that not only are we busy, but this idea that we have to, that we're, there's this sense of perfection and there's just a sense of having to do everything all the time and care for people. You know, that goes way back to our ancestries when we think about the hunters and the gatherers, and it's just part of being a woman. And I think it's a beautiful part that we have this sense, this deep connection with not only caring for our children, but making, ensuring that they're safe and that they can move forward into life. So that gets wrapped up then with this guilt. And this is something that is just really extraordinary, I believe, with women much more than it is with men. And I always say, we're not in this alone. Let's be in this together, because we can take a page. We being women can take a page from men's playbook in that they don't typically have that guilt. In all the years that I've been working with clients, I've never had a male client come into my office and say to me, I feel so guilty about taking 3 hours on the golf course this weekend. So it's different. And I think we can both learn from this. But yes, so many single mothers are dealing with having to not only be a single parent, but run the home fires and also build a career and care for their family from a financial aspect as well.
Absolutely. My guest this week, Yvonne Talley, she's the author of Breaking Up with Busy, Real Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. And we'll be back with more of Yvonne after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going OM? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say, he's lucky to have a brother like you.
Lucky? Caring for my brother is far from easy. But he's a part of me, like my arms and legs, so I'll be his. No time for tired. Nothing can disable this love. He needs me, but I'm the lucky one, even though I need help now and then.
If you're caring for a loved one, visit aarp.org/caregiving for care guides and community. Support for your strength. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening is Yvonne Talley. She's the author of Breaking Up with Busy, Real Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. So you start Breaking Up with Busy, Yvonne, by saying that I'm busy, the words I'm busy, is the new I'm fine. How so?
Yes. You know, one time when we greet one another with that, I'm fine, you know, it's a very polite and not so revealing greeting. And now we've tipped that on its head. And when we greet one another, it's typically very often this, how are you? Oh, I'm so busy. And what happens is we get this sense that from one another, oh, you're busy. Oh, I am busy also, because we want to be able to connect. And busy has this false kind of allure and sense that if we're busy, we must be important. And what I mean by that is, as economics grow and time is seen more as more value to it. As economics grow, it becomes more valuable. And so we try to cram as much as we possibly can into every moment. Thus, if it has a higher value, then we want to be a part of that. And that gets us set on that pace. So if we're sharing the same lifestyle, you're busy, I'm busy, we get one another. Now, what I find so interesting about this is, at a time when we always use that I'm fine, again, that was when a time in our culture when we were much more private. Now we are just fully overexposed more often than not as a culture. And that, again, has a lot to do with technology, social media being a part of that. And we've kind of turned everything on its head from a time when we were I'm fine, when we were in that private kind of state of mind. And now we're in that busy, I want you to know that I'm really busy because I am important, I have things to do. Where at one time, that busy was not seen as something that created value or importance. Leisure did. You know, back in the 50s and the 60s, if you had leisure time, that meant you'd made it. You got into a place in your career where you could take time off. You left the office every day at 5 p.m. and you had weekends to yourself. That was the signal you've made it. Now that is completely tipped on its head. Now, if you're busy, you've got people after you 24/7. And thank you to technology, there are no boundaries around that anymore. And because technology has that incredibly addictive nature to it, it's very easy to get into that place and that trap and that lifestyle of being a 24/7 person. And so this busy has just come into our culture in so many ways, that being a couple of the ways that it does.
You know, it's funny, when people used to say, I'm fine, depending on the way they said it, it could have been, I'm fine, I'm really fine, or I'm fine, meaning I'm not so fine. And yeah, now people say, I'm busy. Is I'm busy the new, I'm not so fine?
Yeah, it certainly can be that way. And I do have to agree with you with that I'm fine. It's saying nothing but saying a lot. And busy is the same way. But busy has that status symbol. And that's what's so different. Busy, again, kind of is that promise that if you're busy, you're running, you're part of the elite pack. You know, the doers, the change makers. And it is definitely something that is expected so much more so now than before. And quite frankly, when you greet somebody and they say, I'm fine, it's almost a put off now, because we are so primed and we're so conditioned to oversharing. So the way to get around without oversharing actually is to just say, oh, I'm so busy. Mm. And that connection, as you said, either busy, not things are okay, busy, things are okay. It just is a way to enter a conversation. I find it fascinating because I think words are incredible and very interesting how people communicate that. So it's a way to come into a conversation and to exit one very quickly.
Absolutely. You coined the term overscheduled woman and its acronym OSW. What is an OSW?
Well, an OSW, the overscheduled woman, and I think most women have felt like that, overscheduled than not. And it is that sense that you have to get things done continually, and it's deeply embedded in the OSW ideology. We frequently opt out of doing something for ourselves when someone close to us requests our time. So it's that imbalance between obligation and expectation and the lack of personal replenishment. That's a big one right there that leaves many women feeling as though they just can't catch up with their own lives. You know, again, it's that make it happen, get it done, be the best, give it your all, and then do it again. So this is really kind of in a nutshell what the overscheduled woman is all about.
Now, is the expectation internal or societal?
Oh, I think expectation begins internally, but we take our signals from what is going on outside of us. And that is why when we're busy, it's so easy to merge the two and have that kind of cloudy expectation of ourselves. And this, again, this guilt pops up where I have to get it done because it's expected of me. And when I have a client in my office that is in that, what I call in her story, and I stop and I ask her that question, who is expecting this? Where is this expectation coming from? If they can breathe enough and slow down enough, they will realize that that is actually coming from within them.
Now, how may women determine if they are OSWs?
Yes. I put 10 signs in the book. And again, one of them is frequently opting out of doing something for themselves when another person that they are close to requests their time. This is a big one. And then there's this mixed sense of just doing too much and not enough. And what's interesting about that is at the end of the day, many women have said to me, I just feel like I was on a rat race all day long, but I didn't get anything done. Because when we're busy, again, we disconnect our feelings with the doing, and we just get right into the doing. It becomes that long list of stuff that we feel like we have to get done. And we don't have the experience. Our mind, our brain, our body has not connected throughout the day to even have a moment to reflect on what is going on. And again, Victor, a lot of this has to do with things have to get done, period, in life. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the over-expectation, the overdoing, the over-giving. So, you know, things that she once enjoyed taking time for now feel like an inconvenience, and very often feeling overwhelmed and anxious and just continually rushing to keep up. So those are some of the signs that, and also another big one, of course, would be something like a panic attack, or relationships start to become rocky on a regular basis. A lot of errors possibly at work that could have been easily avoided. Miscommunication, that's a big one, because when busy pushes its way into our significant relationships, it leaves little room for intimacy, emotional intimacy, where we can allow ourselves to be present and vulnerable and aware of our needs and the needs of our partners. If we're distracted by busy, how can either one of us feel as though we're lifted up in the relationship if we're put behind all of that busyness? So it's very important. It has a direct impact not only on our health and wellness, but our relationships as well.
Absolutely. How may women determine if they are overscheduled?
Well, again, some of those signs that I just said, I think a big one, again, is that feeling that, gosh, things that I used to enjoy, I just don't anymore. And a couple of other things, too. You know, sleep is a big one. This insomnia, low libido can have be a part of that. Skin issues, hair loss, all of these things are how the body responds to not taking time to self-nurture. And if you're feeling as though you are not have at the end of the day where you have that sense of frustration, but you've done so much, it's time to slow that pace down. And there's three things I actually have somebody do in the very beginning, because breaking up with busy, that's a habit. And again, we are conditioned now. We conditioned ourselves to create that physical and mental pace. So what I tell them, look, try this today when you leave here. Slow down the way you talk. Slow down the way you walk. Slow down the way you drive. Why is that important? Because those are three things that we do day in, day out that we can now have a conscious mindset towards to notice the difference. And that can begin that one step at a time. Because that's really what this is about. It's about creating a shift one step at a time. Because if I have a client come into my office and I say, well, you need to stop doing this, this, and this, and you need to start exercising, and you need to start doing this over here, they're going to walk out. I'll never see them again. Because that's just another thing now that I have to do. I have to meditate. I have to take this off my list. Well, who's going to do it? So it's really about, let's just pause and try those three things. Let's get a sense of where we are at on a physical, mental, emotional level, and then let's make another shift after that.
I remember a time when, in my life in particular, I'm not a woman, obviously, but there was a time in my life when I had a sense that I was juggling many things simultaneously. And just by nature, I don't know where it came from, but just by nature, my inner self said, sit down, take a few deep breaths, and refocus. Isn't that something that's innate in human beings to do?
I don't think it's innate. No, not at all. I think that it's a practice. And what you mentioned is definitely an excellent way to begin a practice that is a mindful practice. And what I mean by that, by slowing down, that's another tip, is to just take a deep breath. And what that does is it stimulates the vagus nerve, which triggers our nervous system to slow our heart rate, lower our blood pressure, and decrease our cortisol. Then we can begin to think more clearly. So I don't believe it's innate. I think it's something that we learn, or it can come from you in a way that, this is a solution that feels really natural, but I don't think we all have that. Certainly people in our business, coaches, mindfulness and wellness coaches, that's something that most of us have learned and adopted and brought into our lives, and something that we can also help other people to do the same. Because it's very valuable. It doesn't cost anything. It's within us, and it can make a really dramatic change.
Perhaps in our business, we've forgotten about the innate ability to sit down, relax, and recharge ourselves. My guest this week on Destination Unlimited is Yvonne Talley. She's the author of Breaking Up with Busy, Real Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. Yvonne, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about your work.
They can get my book on any Amazon and all of the others bookstores, and they can also get it at my on my website at YvonneTalley.com.
And that's YvonneTalley.com. And we'll be back with more of Yvonne after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
This is OTR-FM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Yvonne Talley. She's the author of Breaking Up with Busy, Real Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. You talk about our busy culture, Yvonne, but you don't talk about men. Why is that?
Great question, because we are busy as men and women. Again, women are just more busy than men. And as I always say, let's take a page from their playbook. And what I mean by that is men take about 15% more leisure each week, which works out to be about 40 minutes a day, than women do. And again, we go back to what is driving this. Much of this is economics. Again, women have to work longer hours. They've got the lion's share of what it takes to create the domestic life, 80% of what's called non-paid work. And that non-paid work, Victor, accounts for about 14 hours a day on top of working outside of the home. So those are all the things. Those are the nuts and bolts, the chores, the family care, the life management, such as, you know, doctor's appointments, paying bills, so on and so forth, cooking meals. And women still do 80% of that. So this was a very, and as a woman, this was something that I was seeing and experiencing and working with my clients who at the time were primarily women, and having this piece, this guilt piece in there, was very important for me to find solutions on how to help them feel better and find balance within their life, and also to self-care. So it's not that I wanted to exclude men. It's that the book was really driven to create these solutions for women. Now, the good part about it is the solutions in the book are very much based in mindfulness and in practical approaches and with a neuro-linguistic programming layering to it. And of course, these are things that we can all use.
Now, NLP or neuro-linguistic programming techniques play a big part in the solutions that you offer in Breaking Up With Busy. What is NLP?
NLP is a variety of techniques for improving communication and personal growth. So the neuro refers to the neurology of how we process our experiences via our senses. And the linguistics refer to the language we use to communicate those experiences. So we apply meaning to the information we take in via our senses to develop our own unique language, and that's the programming. Programming is how we communicate that information to ourselves and to others to achieve our goals. And of course, the results are strategies for what we want to do and what we want to create. And unfortunately, sometimes what we don't want to create. And so what I found is that layering that NLP in with not only the mindfulness practices such as meditation and positive visualization, but also the practical solutions. All of those coming together really have served well to create these solutions.
Can you give us an NLP example?
Yeah, so in the what I talk about as far as essentials in the book, I have two essentials, the three-minute meditation, and the other one is what I call the super solution process. And it's a five-step process, again, an example of layering all together. So we state the problem, and then we do what I call flip the problem. So we're going to take the problem and turn it into the solution. And I use a technique that I call whittling. So the story that we tell, for instance, when you're having a conversation with someone and they say, you're not going to believe what happened today. And I felt so, and they get right into that story in their feelings and frustrations or maybe their joyfulness. What to find a solution in that story to get out of a problem, we have to take the problem and flip it around, but we also have to whittle it down and get it right into the facts. So we can take a big paragraph and whittle it down into maybe a 6 or 10 word sentence. And that's part of the flip. And then we do what I call spotlight that. We take our intention with our attention to create that solution and bring it more to life. And how do we bring it more to life? We do a meditation around it, a visual meditation, 2 to 3 minutes. And that brings us to what's called our outcome statement. Many people also can use it as a mantra. So at the end, what's my outcome? What's my desired outcome? What do I really want to create now? Because, Victor, so much of the time we spend our energy on the what if in life. What if this happens? What if she says this? What if he does that? And so what I help people do is take that what if energy, that use of imagination, flip it around by using some of these NLP techniques and mindful meditation techniques to find their solutions that are really right there in the center of their story.
Mm-hmm. You say that changing our relationship with busy requires us to know our need-want connection and how it relates to our goals. What is the need-want connection?
Yes, that's really the first step that I help people move into is that need-want connection. Again, so much of the time we focus our energy on that want. You know, I often it is the thing I want. I want the bigger house, the shinier car, this, that, and whatever. And there's nothing, that's no judgment. There's who doesn't like nice things. But what's underneath that? What is it that I really need to get to that want? Maybe it's security, not so much the big house. Maybe it's a sense of safety, not so much the shiny new car. Either way, we've got to figure out what we need to get to that want. And also, in addition to that, so the first question is, what do I really want? And the second question would be, what will change for me when I have what I want? And then, what do I need that will move me towards what I really want? And, you know, it could be something as practical as, I want a new job. All right, how do I get to that want? What am I going to need to do? It could be practical things. I need to update my resume. I need to create space and time to look for that new job. What do I want to feel when I'm in that new job? So these are all the things that I need to get into place, not only practical, but what does it feel like inside for me? And that's a very important piece, because as I said, we often just focus on that want, and that becomes just desire without the mechanics to make that want into the reality.
And also, you're saying that the visceral connection, the feeling, is as important as the intellectual connection.
Absolutely. Again, that we go back to busy, and we disconnect from that feeling. We just get into the doing. So, and that want can sometimes just be the doing of it. I want this, I want that. But we have to get into the feeling, because often what's going to pop up for us, and I'll give you an example. I have a client who is very active, who really enjoys being around people, very creative. And she was in a job that she was at a desk at every day. And she said, I think that I'm going to go crazy sitting every day. I just want to get up and move. I said, well, tell me what that looks like more. Tell me what a next career move would look like for you. And she said, well, I want to be able to move physically throughout the day. I want to be able to connect with people, and I want to be able to use my marketing skills to make that happen. So we did some work around that. We did the mechanics. What do you need as far as functional and practical? And then we did the mindful meditation. It got that in as far as a piece of practice continually on a daily basis. You know, they do this in athletics all the time, performance, to prepare for performances. And so she did this meditation around what it would feel like to be up and moving and being connecting with people throughout the day, and using her marketing skills and her creative sense. And so she just, you know, created this day that she would meditate. Fast forward, she ended up in that job. She's got a great career now. 2 years later, it continues to advance, and she does not sit behind a desk. She's out using her creative skills exactly the way she wanted to, because she tapped into that feeling that she wasn't even aware of. That why was she frustrated? Because she was sitting each day, day in, day out, and that affected her on a very deep level.
Absolutely. You offer 4 different traps in your book that women often fall into. Please give us an example of 2 of those.
Yes, a big one, being all. That's such a big one. Being all and being everything to everyone. And what happens in this, the allure of this, is the praise of others confirms that she is liked and accepted. And this attitude of more is always better. And traps really get set up by the shoulds. I should do this. I should be that. I should be helping this person. It should. So in this trap, she needs that constant reassurance and affirmation. That's kind of how that gets set up. And the knowledge, she needs to know that she's valued and appreciated. And she often applies enormous pressure. The pressure is coming from herself more than anything. So her breakout solutions would be to slow down. And that seems very counterintuitive, to slow down. But again, as we spoke earlier, we have to be able to create a pause to be able to connect again with our feelings, because what we're feeling inside is often driving us to move away from something or towards something. So we have to determine what that is and if it's beneficial to us. And she also needs to be mindful about her needs and want, that need and want connection without the approval of others. And then I would say another trap would be the saying yes. This again is pleasing others. It often is set up by a fear of not being loved or lovable. Typically, parents that, you know, she might have been raised by parents that were very domineering, overbearing, and she's, you know, that love comes conditional, so she has to perform to make sure that she has that. So one of her breakout solutions would be what I call the healthy no, setting those boundaries, getting comfortable with saying no, not as a, as far as being unhelpful to others, but rather to create her own boundaries so that she can create the space for herself to connect with who she is, not because of what she does, but because of who she is.
Worthiness is a big factor in this, isn't it?
I think that has a lot to do with so much that drives the human nature. Am I worthy? And this is something that men and women absolutely experience. And it's so important to have that sense of worthiness within. And no one can really give that to us. We might be temporarily satisfied, but we will never sustain that sense of self-love if we don't experience ourselves as beings of being worthy.
Absolutely. I had the personal experience of always taking care of others and not necessarily taking care of myself, which was wired into me early in my childhood. And I got to a point where I realized that not only do I deserve and I'm worthy of the self-love and self-care that I've given over this, that I'm absolutely worthy to receive it. And that was a hard decision, a hard recognition for me to come to.
I love that. I mean, you said a couple of things there. Deserve, absolutely. And this is a big thing. And that was a big thing for me to get to a space in my life that I deserve to have easiness in my, you know, to have an ease to my life. I deserve to have that love and that connection. Again, you know, growing up and just that pace of keeping making sure that you're doing things on a regular basis. And many people experience that today. And that receiving, that giving and receiving is a big one, especially for this type of overscheduled woman, for women, for men, as you said as well, because as women, we have a tendency often, not everyone, but often to overgive. And what happens is we take away, without knowing it, we take away the experience from someone else of giving. Because when we give to others, we get that sense of that aha feeling, that delicious feeling that comes from within us, that felt really good to help that person. It's a sense of connection. And we take that away if we're always being the one that is in that position of the overgiving.
Absolutely.
So we have to learn to receive it as well.
My guest is Yvonne Talley. She's the author of Breaking Up With Busy, Real Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. We'll be back with more after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking.
You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening is Yvonne Talley. She's the author of Breaking Up With Busy, Real-Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. Yvonne, in our goal-oriented world today, many have an issue with leaving work or projects incomplete in a given period of time or in a given day. Is it okay not to get it all done?
Yes! 100% exclamation mark. Well, we have to determine what all means to each of us, because your all will be different than my all. And I think one of the things that we can do is a practice that I call setting healthy boundaries. And I always think of boundaries like handrails on a staircase. Everyone feels better when they're there. So if you're at work and you have decided to put into place a leave time, and granted, sometimes we cannot always do this, but as a practice, it's important to get that sense of how do I, again, feel in this situation when I'm leaving before, quote, I didn't get it all done, unquote. So we're going to have to back that up and, again, edit our day in a way that it makes sense for us, because all will just continue to be all. It will just continue to go, go, go if we're not mindful about how we're feeling in that process. So I call it flag your feelings. A yellow flag means pause, evaluate. When I'm leaving the office, how am I feeling? Do I feel like, oh, this is just going to overburden me leaving right now because I haven't gotten, quote, all done? Or do you have that sense where, you know what, I can adjust my day tomorrow and I can edit this out and put this in? And then just stick to that and allow yourself permission to leave, because that's a big part of it. What is really that important that needs to be done right in that moment? Again, sometimes we have to stay late. Sometimes we have to extend that day. However, it does not have to be every day. In fact, research shows now that anything over 50 hours, our productivity just drops dramatically after 50 hours. So take a look at what your schedule looks like each week and see where you're productive, because busy and productive are two very different things. Productive is where we do organize, we do edit, we do make that list, and we do say no. Busy is where we say yes to everything, and that's where all becomes all of the time.
Do you find that some or most OSW women have difficulty in delegating?
Very much so. You see how I stumbled on that question. Yes, I think some women are very, I have a good friend who is what I would classify as an OSW, and she is excellent at delegating. However, she's still over busy. So it's important to ask for help. And again, that goes back to that giving and receiving. And I often say that's the artful ask. I have an exercise in the book called The Artful Ask. Explain, be very clear about what you need. Be very clear about what you want. Speak those words with compassion, empathy, and consideration, and then ask. Because asking, and often women say, oh, I just got to get this done when it comes to their kids. And what we do is we take away the experience from our children by doing everything for them, because they need to have that confidence to know that not only can they do something, make a mistake, but then also get on the other side of that. That's what builds their confidence. So it's not necessary for us to continually do all of these things all of the time. And we need to be able to delegate that. And we need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable when someone doesn't do things exactly the way we think they should be done. Because again, this is a process.
It's giving up a little bit of control, isn't it?
Yes, it very much is. And that puts us into a position of being vulnerable, and being vulnerable, especially in the time that we're in right now, is very unsettling. People want to feel safe. They want to feel connected and they want to feel safe. And there's two things I think that we as human beings, we all share. And that is, we all want to feel happy and we all want to be appreciated. That doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, elder or young. We all desire those two things. So how can we create that within ourselves first and then help the others in our life, in our lives do the same, to learn, to create, to grow? And we have a beautiful opportunity with our children by not doing too much. My mother always said, unselfish parents make selfish children. So I've never forgotten that. And I feel really good about delegating because of that.
That's great. Repeat that one more time, please. That's really important.
Unselfish parents make selfish children.
I like that. I really like that. I think that's great advice for all parents.
Yes. And just, you know, we can expand that out into that idea that of doing it all. Why are we doing it all? Does it make us feel better? Or are we really coming from a place within us, in ourselves, of generosity? And if we're coming from a place of generosity, then we are also going to take into consideration, especially if it's our children, I keep using that as an example, but it could be our office mate, it could be somebody that you're mentoring. What are they also getting from this experience? Because that's, you know, when each of us does better and when each of us can do better or be better within ourselves, because we're already better, we're already good where we are. But if we're expanding that out, when each of us does that and each of us can be our better self, then we help others to do the same. And what happens with that? I believe the world becomes a better place.
I agree with you 100%. How may OSW women learn to have fun and enjoy life again?
Oh, goodness. Well, I've got 52 ways to do that. And that was the most fun, writing that last chapter, the refreshers and the reminders. So there's so many little tiny ways that you can do that. The first one, please take a big breath and just know that you deserve to have the life that you desire. And, you know, there's just some really fun things that I like to do. Be curious. Take the day on as a day to be an explorer and have that mindset to be curious. You'll be amazed at how people will open up with you and how your conversations will be different. When you're in a conversation and you ask somebody, well, why? Why? That becomes a defensive response for the other person. They have to feel as though they have to defend themselves. But if you say to the other person, I'm curious about that, tell me more. Then you're in a mindset to receive the information and also to learn and expand your own experience, your own perspectives. And one of the other ones I love is adopt a latitude attitude, because I always believe that attitude is everything. So, you know, when you notice how you feel, when you get this instantaneous mood lift when you think about going on vacation, you're planning that vacation, you're looking forward to that vacation. Well, we can have that sense, that latitude attitude, any day of the week. And that's a really fun place to be. Maybe set your day up tomorrow to have a piece of it where you can experience that latitude attitude. Take yourself to lunch, gather with a friend, watch a great movie, do something out of the ordinary that you wouldn't necessarily do. Often a client will say, well, I don't have time to do that. And I always say, we all, on an average, take about 20 minutes a day. We spend 20 minutes a day on average looking for things we've misplaced, like our keys. So get organized for the day. Give yourself that latitude, attitude break and have fun with it. Feel as though you're on vacation for an hour. You'll feel recharged, especially if you connect with a friend. You can have that hit of dopamine, that great oxytocin, those good hormone feelings. And then you can go back to work or you can re-enter whatever it is that you're doing with a whole different sense, an attitude of latitude.
Wonderful advice. You know, in sales, we talk about the elevator pitch. You get into an elevator and have 30 seconds to pitch your value statement to a prospective customer. If you were in an elevator with a woman and you had only 30 seconds, what is the number one thing you would tell her to start doing now to get out of their busy, overscheduled life?
Well, first of all, I hit the big red button to stop the elevator. I could have for longer than 30 seconds. So, you know, again, what's really interesting and always gets a pause where if the conversation starts and I say, you know, the book Breaking Up with Busy, and they say, oh, how do I do that? And I say, slow down. And it always grabs their attention because really that's what it is. Slow down, keep your big, and I gave three examples of how to do that earlier on. And this is important. Keep your big picture front and center. Try to be conscious of all those little tiny micro things that you do each day that are taking you off and away from your big picture. And then the other thing is take 3 minutes a day to meditate on what you want to bring into your life. Focus on what you want, not what you fear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What do you hope readers will take away from your book, Breaking Up with Busy?
You know, I hope that they have this. First of all, I want them to be able to clear their path so that they can begin living that life that they desire and I believe deserve. So the takeaway, I want them to have those takeaway practical solutions from making daily shifts, not big, huge, sweeping leaps of changes, but just daily shifts so that they can connect and listen to their spiritual voice, to that internal voice within. And I want them to feel confident to know that they can transform those needs and wants into the reality. Because really, this book is about mindful intentions, clear and thoughtful communication, healthy boundaries, and a big dose of love and compassion for one another. That's what I hope they take away from that. Love and compassion, not only for themselves, but for the world in whole.
Her book is Breaking Up with Busy, Real Life Solutions for Overscheduled Women. Yvonne Talley, please tell us one more time where they can get your book and find out more about your work.
They can get my book at any bookstore and also Amazon.com and also at my website, YvonneTalley.com.
Yvonne, thank you so much for joining us this week and sharing your wisdom. I know the 55 million women who are overscheduled women out there will love your book and really change their lives by adopting the practices that you share. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Victor.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.